All right, it's hour two of First Up, brought to you by 2for1pizza.com. Hakuna Matata. The shirt you're wearing, Ryan Reeves via Bulkamania.
Inspired Ryan Reeves.
Yes. It's a beautiful shirt.
It's awesome.
He was wearing it ahead of game six for the Leafs in round one. Unfortunately, we only saw him wear it once. If they got to round two, probably would have worn a lot more.
Probably would have been way more popular, too.
I know.
Nice shirt. You know, credit to Ryan Reeves. He stepped out in front of the mic, and early in the series, he tried to get everybody to calm down and basically said Hakuna Matata. And if you know what Hakuna Matata means, it means no worries.
It does.
And he had some shirts made. I bought one because I wanted to believe that they were going to rally around Hakuna Matata. But unfortunately, they fell short again.
Not even Hakuna Matata can get the Leafs past the first rounder.
Dude, the mentalist. The mentalist couldn't.
Nobody could. Sheldon Keefe.
They're cursed.
We'll get to that story a little bit later this hour. The future of Sheldon Keefe per our hockey insider, Darren Dreger. Most surprising thing that happened last night in sports. Pastrnak fighting Matthew Tkachuk, or the Edmonton Oilers blowing a 4-1 lead to the Canucks, or the Toronto Blue Jays scoring 5 runs and winning. What surprised you the most between those three things?
I'm going to say the thing that surprised me the most was Edmonton giving up a 4-1 lead and losing to Vancouver in regulation, not even in overtime, in regulation. I went to bed when it was 4-1 Edmonton. It was, 5 minutes left in the second period? And I wake up to all these alerts on my phone explaining to me, you know, the stats around Canucks and their comebacks and, you know, what's the guy's name that scored Garland.
Joshua?
No, Garland.
Garland also had a
game-winning
goal. Yeah.
Skinner's comments. I'm like, wait a minute. Did Vancouver come back and win this game? And clearly they did. And Vancouver, this is 5-0 now against Edmonton in this year's regular season on obviously one game of the playoffs. And it's another game one loss for the Edmonton Oilers, who historically have been just as bad as the Maple Leafs in game sevens. They have one win in their last 9 games in game ones of the playoff series. So
that's crazy.
Crazy how they let a 4-1 lead squander, and we're talking about that record.
Nikita Zadorov of the Vancouver Canucks explained how the team was inspired to come back from the 4-1 deficit. Here's what he said.
We all watched the Real Madrid game today. They came back, scored 2 goals at the end to make the Champions League finals. It's our inspiration. At least it was mine.
Is it hard to stay positive after the 4-1 goal?
No, it's not. Well? No, because I thought when you play well, it's easy to play positive. When you play like that's hard to play positive.
Arad Zadorov. Yes, you know Arad was tuned in for the Real Madrid game.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever in Thailand.
By the way, did you see that goal that Alfonso Davies scored for Bayern?
No.
You didn't?
I did not.
Oh, my goodness. You need to see it.
I will check it out.
It was ridiculous.
I'm still into the Bernadeschi goal that he scored for Toronto FC.
It was literally the same as the Bernadeschi goal, but on the other side of the field. It was incredible. And, yeah, that was an incredible game. And so was the Oilers versus Edmonton. Just watching the highlights this morning and watching Vancouver's comeback. And, man, look, I know a lot of people counted out Vancouver, and I tried to remind them, hey, man, like, this team embraces the underdog role. They don't care who's playing in net. They don't care who they're playing. They believe in themselves. And clearly, even down 4-1, they still believe in themselves. And they came back to beat the juggernaut of what most people describe as the Edmonton Oilers. And they did it because they stuck to a game plan. They stay out of the box. I mean, I couldn't have started off any worse for them. They take a too many men on the ice penalty less than two minutes into the game as the crowd is absolutely blowing the roof off in that place. Edmonton scores in the power play because that's what they do. You give them a power play, they're going to score. Vancouver did not take another penalty for the rest of the game. Even though they were down 4-1, they found ways to come back in that game, and huge credit to them, man.
Some very reasonably priced tickets to get into the Canucks-Oilers game one. I had a friend in Vancouver tell me that on like the secondary market, it was less than $400 to sit in the lower bowl for game one. Yeah.
How?
I mean, that's not cheap, but relative to Toronto, those tickets are like $1,400 to $1,500.
Yeah, you wouldn't get in for less than $1,500 for lower bowl tickets at this round.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, if you want to go see some Stanley Cup playoff hockey, then heading out of Van City, you could find an affordable ticket anyways. Maybe that's why it was so loud in there as opposed to what we're accustomed to.
That's
here,
fair.
Toronto. In Florida, game two, the Panthers lay a beating on the Boston Bruins. Jeremy Swayman proves that he does occasionally have a bad game, and I wouldn't even say he had a bad game. I mean, just they were all over the Bruins were the Panthers. So many scoring opportunities. They win 6-1, but I think the real story of what happened last night beyond the result is what was going on in the third period, the message sending between the two teams. Mm-hmm. And I want to play the audio of the Florida call of the fight that went down between, get this, Matthew Tkachuk and David Pastrnak. Two superstars going toe-to-toe.
Oh, here we go. Pastrnak is going to go.
Here we go. The gloves are up. Pastrnak and Tkachuk and Pastrnak. Here we go. At center ice, they lock horns. And Matthew Tkachuk dropped him to the ice with a rapid fire of right hands. And now the officials separate them. And Pastrnak wants to get after Matthew Tkachuk after the linesmen have already taken care of this. Matthew Tkachuk absolutely lit him up in the neutral zone.
Those two players were talking at length, and I'm surprised Pastrnak was involved with a heavy.
Well, he ate
from
a whole round of right hands.
Yeah, that second punch by Tkachuk caught Pastrnak pretty clean, and Big Walt Tkachuk, his dad, up in the stands, taking this all in. Used to seeing this from his boys.
I'll tell you what, Matthew let him have it there. Holy cow, he let him have it.
So it's amazing how you look when Ty Domi is shown after a Max Domi fight. He's like, oh, God, disgusting.
He wants Please to kill fight. Somebody.
Big Walt is like, yeah, baby, let's go, kid. I love it. I love it. It's like the Tim
Thumbs
Holmes
up, high fives, yeah, big
exactly.
smile on the
so
face.
Good. So good.
Oh, yeah.
Kudos to both Tkachuk and Pastrnak for fighting. Yeah. I would say Kachuk's more of a, if you want to use the word, tough guy, but he's not a tough guy, but he at least has some experience. Pastrnak does not fight. Probably should not fight again because, as you heard in that call, he took a good right hand from Tkachuk.
And I give Pastrnak a ton of credit.
Me too.
Like, during the huddle by the referees, by the penalty box, as they were trying to sort out all the stuff that happened in front of the net after Montour scored, Kachuk's there with Pastrnak, and he's egging him on. He's like, you want to go? You want to go? You want to go? And for Pastrnak, he's probably looking at the score. He's like, okay, it's 6-1. There's 10 minutes left. I could get out of this game, and I could send a message to my team by fighting
Huge
their
message.
Best player.
Huge message.
So he goes to the bench. He talks to Jim Montgomery, the coach, and he asks him flat out, can I fight Matthew Tkachuk? And to Jim Montgomery's surprise, you saw his eyes when he first heard. He's like, what? You want to fight Tkachuk? And when Pastrnak said yes again, Jim Montgomery's eyes lit up, and he's like, yeah, go ahead, bud. Let's do this. Forget about the score. Go send a message. And they did.
So why don't we – well, we definitely did. That's an incredible fight. You could even hear the crowd, the announcers, everybody in that building was going nuts. Let's take a listen to Jim Montgomery. He mentioned the coach of the Boston Bruins talking about his superstar player dropping the gloves.
What I'm really proud of, I'm proud of Pasta. Because there's so many guys out there pushing after whistle when the linesmen are there. Pasta and Tkachuk, they just went out there and fought. That's what you like. You like your hockey players to be competitors.
Man, I'm honestly getting emotional. I love hockey so much. That culture and that old school mentality
is
such
a
beautiful thing.
Hold on a second. It's not about loving hockey that much. It's about loving playoff hockey.
Very true. Very true. Don't think this is happening in the regular season.
This is not happening in the regular season. This is stuff that happens in the playoffs. And for everything that happened in round one, which is, I think, everything that happened in round one was below the standards, I think, then for what most people are used to seeing in round ones, where you're seeing this exciting back and forth hockey, you're seeing games being extended into 6 and 7 games. We kind of got robbed with that in round one. I mean, Carolina took easy work with the Islanders. Rangers had easy work with the Washington Capitals. And to everyone's surprise, Florida manhandled Tampa in 5 games, and those didn't even have much of the Battle of Florida feel. Like, we've seen so far in this with the intensity in this game. I mean, the only great series in the West was Dallas and
the Golden Knights, which was an amazing series.
I mean, Colorado Winnipeg was a great series, but it ended in five games.
I think we're going to see a lot of more long, arduous battles in round two, which is great for everybody involved. Paul Maurice, the head coach of the Florida Panthers, had his take on Pasternak, Tkachuk.
You get two elite offensive players, and Tkachuk is a 100-point guy all day long. Pasternak's just this brilliant player, but it's playoffs, and they each have their team, right? They got their brothers in the room. It gets a little spicy out there, and they want to go. I think it was awesome.
I love it. When that fight happened, it was a number one thing trending on Twitter. Everybody was talking about it. And regardless of the score, that's what people love to see. People love to see players care at this time of the year. People love to see players battle for their teammates. And people like to see the unexpected. And come playoff time, that's what you should see, is the unexpected. You see different guys step up for different reasons. And again, we circle back to, you know, everything being compared to Toronto. You just don't know if and look, I give the Leafs a lot of credit. They did play a lot more competitive, you know, especially with guys like Domi and Bertuzzi around and Simone Benoit and Jake McCabe on the back end and Joel Edmondson. There was a different brand of hockey that this Maple Leafs team played. But we're talking about star players on each team's taking these type of, you know, initiatives, and you just sit there and question, like, can you ever expect the core four of the Maple Leafs to play or engage in that type of battle? I'm going to say no, because we've never seen it. And do you remember last year when they were playing Florida, and it was the Leafs win game four because they were down 3-0 in that series, and then Florida tried to message send late in the game, and, you know, Tkachuk's ragdolling Marner. There was another couple guys that were ragdolling a couple other Maple Leafs underneath the pile, and nobody did anything about it.
Yeah, sounds about right. Par for the
course.
Nobody
did anything about it.
Yeah.
You know, you go back to the Montreal series in the bubble where Mauston Matthews is getting punched in the face and he's laughing about it. Like, you know, like, it's just, you don't see it with this group. Well, but when you do see it, when you do see it in the NHL, people love it. People change their opinion about you.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. And kudos to both Pasternak and Tkachuk. I loved it, and I guarantee you everybody involved from both sides loved it, and the fans who were there loved it as well. So game three of that series, I believe it's tomorrow night, and what a night of hockey that tomorrow is. You'll have game three of that and then game two of Edmonton and Vancouver. So it just should be just spectacular.
Well, today there's two games too, no? There's the
two games too. Well, you have Colorado in action tonight.
Is there no Ranger game tonight?
I think the Rangers do play tonight. Yeah, Rangers Hurricanes game number three
two
from
and two.
Carolina. And
so
then
from now on, it'll be 2-2 the rest of the way.
Awesome. Bring it on. That is as good as it gets. So on Monday, the Toronto Maple Leafs did their locker room cleanout where all the players spoke and did their whole shtick about how disappointed they are, yada, yada, yada. And we had a listener named Dave Britton write to me. Maybe Dave should be a producer here at TSN Radio, because it's a great idea for a segment. The idea was to take a bunch of postseason Maple Leaf comments over the years, play them, and then see if we can pick which series they're from. So 20 Fingers has put together a long list, and we're going to play some of the audio, and we'll try to figure out, are these from 2017? Are these from 2023?
How far back are we going for?
We're going all the way back to the beginning. The Washington loss, all
the
way.
So that was, what, 2016?
2017, all the way to this most recent loss to the Boston Bruins. So we'll do that on the other side. Mike Johnson coming up as well. This is Hour 2 at First Up. We're back. It's Hour 2 of First Up. Aaron Carolla, Carlo Colaiacovo. We're going to do a little exercise now. Maple Leafs locker room cleanup was on Monday, and we're going to play a game in which we play clips over the years of Maple Leafs playoff failures from different players, coaches, etc. And, Carlo, you're going to have to try to guess which year it's from. And, again, it's a very familiar refrain year after year. They just don't win. Don't go deep into the playoffs. Either lose in the first round or last year, they lost in the second round. But we're going to try to have you guess which year this is from. We're going to begin with William Nylander.
I mean, San Antonio, this is where you want to win. So I think it was it gave a lot of experience, and you learned a lot, which I think was important for sure.
What year do you think that was?
Ooh, William Nylander. I'm going to guess that's 2019 loss to the Boston Bruins.
Reasonable guess, but I think the giveaway there was the mention of experience. That was actually 2017, the year in which Toronto lost to Washington in six games. All right, let's go to our second clip. Clip number two, Chrissy. This is Morgan Riley.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the idea, is that you take them as learning experiences and you try to use it to make you better. And it's important that we do that, or else, you know, what does it all mean? You take the experiences and you try to make yourself better from them.
I'm going to guess that's a fresh Morgan Riley. It's something new that just happened to him, so I'm going to guess it's 2018 versus the Boston Bruins. They lose 7-4 in Game 7.
Yeah, there you go. Coco, well done.
I hope he didn't put these in order so that
Well, you should think that and see how it goes for you. That's what I'm going to suggest. Okay. All right, why don't we go to clip number three, Chris? This is Austin Matthews.
You know, I believe it. I think everybody in this room believes it. You know, I don't think that, you know, we can really concern ourselves with opinions of others or the media or, you know, what fans and other people think. But I know that, you know, deep down in this room that we all believe in each other. And
oh, jeez. I hate hearing that.
You could literally say any year. Any year. That sounds like Austin Matthews from any year.
I'm going to guess that is 2022 losing to Tampa Bay 4-3 in the series, and they lost game 7 at home 2-1 to Tampa. Oh!
The man's on fire.
Coco the mentalist. I'm Coco reading people's minds right
whoa,
now.
Whoa. I'm still AK the mentalist until they hire someone not named Daryl Sutter. Come on. All right, let's go to clip number 6. This is Brendan Shanahan.
As many of the players have said, there's a killer instinct that is missing that we need to address.
This is easy.
Whether that's externally or just figuring out a way for our guys to get over that hump.
This is easy. This is him on a Zoom call, and this is him talking about the bubble year, losing to the Columbus Blue Jackets 3-2 in Game 5, where they were shut out 3-0. What?
Very reasonable guess. I guess the Zoom was a giveaway. It was either 2020 or 2021. It was 2021, the year the Leafs blew that 3-1 lead to Montreal.
He actually used the word killer instinct. Wow.
Yeah, killer instinct. So again, what we're doing here.
That was the giveaway because they lost three games in a row.
Yeah,
killer instinct.
Exactly.
And people talked about no killer instinct.
It's
last name there, instinct, first name killer.
That's right. That's exactly right. So again, just a refresher for those just joining us. We are playing clips from Leafs locker room cleanouts over the years and having Carlo try to guess which year they're actually from. Let's go to Sheldon Keefe, Chris. Clip number 9.
In terms of the core group and everything, I feel like we've grown a lot together. And while on a day like today, it's really tough to feel or sense any sort of progress, but I do feel we've made progress as a group.
Progress. This one's confusing. Now, are there clips of the same years or
perhaps?
Because this sounds
perhaps.
Like
actually, I don't think there are 20 fingers. I know there are. Sorry, there are.
This sounds like them losing to Tampa Bay in 2022. In Game 7.
That's a guess. No, it was actually 2023 where the
losing
Leafs
to Florida.
To Florida in the second round in five games. Progress.
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 God,
progress.
I'm not a mentalist.
No. Coco the mentalist is here. All right, let's go to clip number 8. the former general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Kyle Dubas.
As they accrue these scars and scar tissue from these experiences like this, I think that directly impacts them in terms of mentally the way they deal with it. I thought our players throughout the year, even in the series, did a great job of when things weren't going well, being able to dig in and push back.
What year was that?
Dig in and push back. Was it? That had to be 2022 against Tampa Bay.
2019, the Leafs losing to the Boston Bruins in Game 7. Obviously, you're being put in a very tough spot, not having heard these clips, and they all sound the same because the result is the same. They should sound the same, yeah. And these guys continue to go back to very familiar refrains year after year. Let's play clip number one, Mitchell Marner.
Like I said, I put a lot of pressure on myself to be the best player every single night. You know, I felt that wasn't living up to my own standards, and just got to make sure that stops happening.
That's over Zoom, so it's either 2020 or 2021. I'm going to guess that's 2021, losing to Montreal.
That's correct. Very good guess. Why don't we take a listen to another Mitch Marner clip?
Oh, there he puts a lot of pressure on himself, but this year he doesn't put a lot of pressure on himself.
Great point. Here's another clip from Mitch Marner.
Yeah, it sucks. Regardless, you know, from this year to last year, it's all the same pain, to be honest. So it's never fun going home this early, you know, and never gets easier.
That's 2022, losing to Tampa?
That's this year. This year for Mitch
Marner.
That's
this year?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really? I listened to all of Mitch Marner's audio and didn't hear that. Can we play that again? Let me see if I remember.
Yeah, it sucks. Regardless, you know, from this year to last year, it's all the same pain, to be honest. So it's never fun going home this early, you know, and never gets easier.
Wow, okay. It's fair. Didn't want to put pressure on himself that time.
Amazing that this exercise, like, you hear a lot of the same stuff and stuff we haven't heard played yet, and maybe we can get to some more clips a little bit later. It's the same old story, man. But I'm not surprised by that at all, because when the result is the same, the things you're going to say for the most part are probably going to be the same as
sound
well.
The same, yeah.
Why don't we take a listen to one more clip? This is John Tavares, clip number four.
You know, the opportunities we had in this playoff series, because I really think what makes this first round defeat really tough is we really had some moments, I think, to really break through. And
okay, that's 2022 against the Tampa Bay Lightning, is it not? Holy crap.
2019. The loss against Boston. It does sound like a much more young, spry Sean.
Well, he says breakthrough. It was because in both 2019 and 2022, they had 3-2 series lead in that series. At 2019 against Boston, they lose Game 6 and Game 7. And 2022, they lost Game 6 in OT. Remember, OT, Braden Point in Tampa, and then they come home and lose 2-1. So, oy.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So, great job from Dave Britton, who suggested the segment. 20 Fingers, excellent job producing the segment as well. And it's just really, really illustrates what this city, what this fan base has endured over the years. Listening to all of that stuff, it's the same old story. And for the most part, we did play Kyle Dubas, but it's just the same dudes involved in all of these losses too. So maybe it changes. We'll
you know which one sticks with me is the Brendan Shanahan one that says killer instinct. The Maple Leafs still don't have that. Like, play that clip again, the Brendan Shanahan one.
As many of the players have said, there's a killer instinct that is missing that we need to address. Whether that's externally or just figuring out a way for our guys to get over that hump.
So
internal development.
That was said in 2021 after they lost their playoff series to the Montreal Canadiens, where they lost three in a row to lose in Game 7 up 3-1 in that series. It's been 3 years since then. Like, even the series against Tampa that they won last year in Game 6, they weren't the better team in that series. They just, they got a lot of lucky bounces. And look, you create your own luck in the playoffs, and I think Ryan O'Reilly played a huge factor in that series in changing the fortunes of this group. But then they go into second round against Florida, where they're the favorite once the second round starts. They lose game one after Florida had a crazy battle against Boston. So in game two, which is where that series was lost, they were up 2-0 in that game and had zero killer instinct. So that, if you're talking about an ingredient that this team still misses, they still don't have that killer instinct from any of their top players.
It's kind
We thought Matthews had that when he basically willed the team to a victory in game two against the Boston Bruins, and then we never saw it since.
And I wonder, you know, listening back to all of that, how a new coach could possibly change the fortunes and change the mentalities of this group. Maybe we find that out tomorrow. Darren Dreger, our Hockey Insider, reported that it's more likely than not that Sheldon Keefe would be out as the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, perhaps as early as tomorrow's press conference that features the manager.
As early as today.
Maybe as early as today.
Could lead into tomorrow. Yes.
Could lead into tomorrow. So we're going to find out a lot on that front, who the next guy will be. And I'm sure the questions will arise about the core of this hockey team. And if, I mean, they're not going to be like, yeah, we want to trade this guy for that. Like, no, that's not happening. But I think we'll learn a lot about how it's discussed tomorrow at 10:30. So that's to come tomorrow. To come today, we'll talk to Mike Johnson in about 12 minutes' time. James Duthie in 45. Mike Johnson in about 7 minutes, live from the Czech Republic. I guess it's called Czechia now.
You can't call it Czech Republic anymore.
Yeah, I guess you can just change the name of your country. Just like, yeah, we're now Czechia. It's like, you can call me Alex going forward. That's it. That's my new name. Kudos to Czechia, who hosts the World Hockey Championship. It starts tomorrow on TSN. I'm very excited for this tournament, mostly because holding a fat ticket on the U.S. to win at plus 700. So let's go, USA.
How dare you?
The Jays, they won yesterday. Can you believe it? 5-3 over Philadelphia. And
pop those bottles.
It was the big boys who got it done. Springer had a big hit. Vladdy had three hits. Bo Bichette, who was moved down to the sixth spot in the lineup. Ooh, message sent to Bo. He had a big RBI single as well. John Schneider, the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, talked about, I'm almost rolling my eyes saying this, the team's resiliency.
Easy today, I think, for some guys to kind of lay down and say, all right, we're in this and let's get home. And nobody did that. And, George playing through some sickness. He felt like crap today and laying it out there. JT getting on the line on a double play ball. He's 39 and allows us to score. Things like that. It was kind of a look yourself in the mirror and come out and show up today. And it was really, really good.
I do think John Schneider's a cool dude. Like, I would like to sit down and have a beer with John Schneider. Big fan of his, personally. As a manager, I mean, I don't know how critical you could really be of a dude who's got his best three players hitting below 230. So, I mean, Jays now 17 and 19. They are off today. They host Minnesota, the first of three. And a lot of people are concerned about Minnesota's summer sausage clearing customs.
Oh, boy.
Because
that's
you can't bring in meat.
That's a hazard, man. That's a hazard.
And if you're not aware of this story, Minnesota somehow, some way, have rallied around this sausage, and they throw it around in the dugout after big moments. And it's been maybe 3 weeks of this summer sausage. Mm. I'm very curious to know how this plays out, because per Canadian law, I researched this last night, any meat brought into the country from America must be packaged and clearly labeled. Now, what does that mean for like the PJs, that the chartered flights that these guys fly in from? So I don't know. Tangy summer sausage. Is it going to be confiscated at the border? And I think if those customs agents are Blue Jays fans, take the sausage, throw it right in the garbage, and say, screw you, Minnesota. We need some wins here in Toronto desperately. Yeah. And getting rid of your sausage is the key.
Take that sausage and shove it up you know what.
Yeah, candy ass. Like
drop
the Rock.
It in the garbage. We don't need any more hazardous stuff entering Canada.
By the way, I saw this yesterday as well. Toronto, the nickname Hogtown, is because it used to be a mass production pork site in the 19th and 20th centuries.
Toronto has a nickname called Hogtown?
You've never heard the name Hogtown?
Never ever heard of that. Never.
Pretty sure I heard that at some point.
Wouldn't Hogtown be a reference to like a biker gang or a biker place, like hogs?
I guess you could look at it that, but this is like from way back in the day, like the 1800s. That's where they produced a lot of pork in Toronto.
They did?
That's what I was told, and I'm going to say it's fact. Maybe we'll ask Mike Johnson. He knows the history of the city, and I imagine he'll know the future of the Toronto Maple Leafs as well. We'll talk about Darren Dreger's reporting done yesterday on the future of Keefe and who could be his theoretical replacement. That's next on Leafs Breakfast.
This is Leafs Breakfast.
It's Leafs Breakfast here on First Up, live from Prague in Czechia. Wow. Where I'm Aaron Karolnik. That's Carlo Koliakovo. And we are joined, again, live from Czechia by our friend and TSN hockey analyst, Mike Johnson, ahead of the World Hockey Championships. Dobre rano. Michael, how are you?
Oh, well done, AK. You always come with a little bit of local flavor for me when I'm over here in Europe, and I appreciate that, even though I don't know what it means because I need my Google Translate to get it. I am doing well today. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Prague. Maybe Carlo has, but
today
is one of those days.
I'm a cultured individual, Mike.
25 degrees, sunny, bars are packed, like it's noon, and like the whole central square is just packed. Every restaurant's spilling over with pilsners everywhere. It's gorgeous day here.
Oh, that sounds great. It's actually quite nice here in Toronto as well. High of 13, so maybe not as warm. But the temperature, Mike, heating up when it comes to the Toronto Maple Leafs coaching situation. After Darren Dreger yesterday reported that it's more likely than not that they move on from Sheldon Keefe and Craig Berube is a top candidate. Let's assume that those things do happen. They move on from Keefe and do hire Craig Berube. Your reaction would be what?
Probably not shock. I mean, sort of a matter of factness about it would be my first reaction. And that's not to suggest that I think Sheldon Keefe's a very good coach. I think he's done a really good job. I think his record in the regular season speaks for itself. But even good coaches, eventually their time runs out and a different voice is needed. And I think given all that has gone on with this Maple Leaf team over the years of Sheldon Keefe, the playoffs and everything else, maybe that they've come to that point where a change is needed. And, you know, Craig Berube is a guy that when you're around him, like he has a presence. And I know younger players in general, maybe have more say or less sort of intimidation from coaches, but Berube walks in the room, you know, he's there and he brings a presence with him. And I think some of that is what Toronto was after, maybe a different kind of vibe, a different kind of personality. And ideally, some of that will challenge and get the best out of the players. That doesn't necessarily mean just to be a hard guy or, you know, difficult or whatever, but just finding ways to get more out of the players and then, who knows, preparing them a little bit better for the playoffs. And if you can do that, then he'd be the right guy. But mostly sort of not surprising. It feels like something's got to give with this Toronto team right now. And the easiest and most obvious thing to change is the head coach, and so not surprising that they may elect to go down that road.
So, Johnny, this is the first time we've actually got a chance to speak to you since the Maple Leafs lost again in Game 7 on Saturday. I'm curious to know what your reaction was to the way they lost again in the fashion they lost in.
I guess probably the same thing, like not that surprised. I mean, it's unfortunate because, you know, they get to these moments. Game 7 overtime, you couldn't be closer. And all they needed was one play, one awesome shot.
All they needed to do is score two goals in that game, and they would have marched on.
and the entire narrative's different. Now, I don't know how they do against Florida. Doesn't feel like they do that well. But point is, they'd be through, and you know they would have come out of a sticky situation. It just seems like for all the talent that they have, Carlo, they just when they need it most, they can't get it. You've heard me talk for at length about their lack of offense. Everybody wants to lean in on physicality and checking and crease
goaltending and coaching.
Goaltending and like, what is it, 13 or 14 games, two or fewer?
Yeah.
Like, you just, you know, you can't win like that. And this is with a team that is top heavy with their salary structure on offense. And yet they're still not capable of doing it. And when it's been 5 or 6 years with largely the same group, and that's not suggesting for a second that, you know, Matthews is like, you know, one of the best players in the league. Obviously, Marner incredible, Nylander incredible. Like, they're all great players, but for whatever reason, the mix of them in the playoffs, it's been a half a decade, and it's sort of been the same story, where they can't get that offense in the big moments. So, again, you know, you at some point, they're not learning lessons, and it's maybe just the mix of the group is this is what they are. They just are going to have a hard time scoring in the playoffs, and if that's the case, then there's no point in continuing to go forward with the same group because you sort of know what the result's going to be.
So what would your expectation be in this offseason that starts now? There's much anticipation that there's probably going to be a new coach behind the bench, but would you expect any other changes besides that?
I think the new coach, yes, that'll be the start. I think beyond the natural chain turnover of players, UFAs, whatever it is, I think the one difference, Carlo, at the bare minimum, to start, is that generally speaking, the Leafs, when they've had Marner or Matthews or Nylander come up for contracts, they sort of get on it early, sign them early, negotiate, even if it takes a long time, like it did for William Nylander. I think sort of the starting point might have to be, you know, Mitch Marner can sign an extension, as can John Tavares on July 1st, right? Mm. And it might be, listen, you know what? As we sort through what's going on, no one's getting an extension. No, you know, and no puts a bit of a risk for Toronto, like, you know, Marner could conceivably leave in a year for nothing if he wants to play out and, you know, exert his no move clause. But I would say that would be a good start, Carlo. Like, we're not going to sign into extension right now. We need time to play this out, see how it goes, whether it's changes in the summer or see how next year works out. And then you can process, okay, do any of those players want to be willing to waive their no move clause? If so, where to? Do they need an extension to waive that clause? And you kind of go through that. But I would imagine a message to the camp of specifically Mitch Marner, who's been great for Toronto, undeniably great, but just, you know what, we're going to put a pause and maybe not sign you an extension by July 1st.
Mike Johnson, our guest, live from Prague out of the World Hockey Championships, which begin tomorrow on TSN. MJ, Carlo and I were talking about Brandon Montour earlier, a pending UFA. Was a monster for the Panthers last night. A goal and two assists, had 73 points last year, was banged up this year. But we know what Brandon Montour can bring to any organization. He will be highly sought after in the offseason. What type of contract do you think he could be looking for? And do you think Toronto would be looking to bring him in?
The problem is, AK, I think everyone realizes how good he is, right? Like, he's going to be in demand by everybody. So that's going to be a challenge for Toronto. But he's going to want 8 years, right? He's of that caliber player of that could get 8 years in a deal. And he probably will want eight. I mean, 73 points last year is monstrous. If they go on another deep playoff run, like two runs to the final or third round and playing well in the playoffs, like that's an $8 million contract. You know, okay. So $64 million or so. Something like that.
He's 30 years old, too.
Well, he's going to be 31 next week.
Yeah, he's not, which is why you'd be scared, which is why he wants eight, because he knows he's old. Like, you want as much term as you can get. The one thing Brandon Montour can do, though, at his age, is skate really well. Yeah. So, like, the idea that he's going to slow down soon, probably not entirely accurate, because he is a great skater. He's only making, like, 3.5, which is not a lot of money for his caliber. So he's going to want a big payday, and somebody will get it. The question is, does he like Florida enough to take whatever, you know, six and a half for 7 years or something like that? Does he want to chase the money, which I would completely understand as well. But he would be a perfect fit for them. But I think he'd be a really good fit for a lot of teams.
What was your level of surprise waking up this morning in beautiful Prague and seeing the Edmonton Oilers blow a 3-goal lead up 4-1 to Vancouver yesterday, and Vancouver coming back to win?
The best part, Carlo, was, you know how it is with the jet lag. You're kind of all over the place. I woke up at, like, whatever it was, 6 o'clock in the morning. I was sort of tossing and turning, so I flipped on the game. I saw the last period.
Nice!
I could not believe it. You figured Edmonton 4-1, put it away, that's it. You know, like, Seeloff sort of struggling a little bit, game's over. And the goal late in the second turns it around. And then Edmonton stopped playing. That's maybe the most surprising part. Not that they were able to score goals. Stuart Skinner didn't look great, but man, oh man, the Oilers, who are a really good team and have done so much winning, completely sort of fell apart.
Yeah, they're really bad. They're also a really bad game one team of the playoffs.
Yeah, they never won game one.
1-7 right now in their last
eight series.
Series, yeah.
They're like crazy. The Leafs in game sevens, but in game ones. I think you'd rather be bad in game ones than game sevens, though. So I think they have that going for them.
Sorry, 1-8 now after that game yesterday.
Yeah, that's wild. Last night. Connor was quiet. Now, and the other thing, AK, I don't know if you ever played. Like, have you ever cramped in a sporting event? I've had cramps, like my calf will cramp up.
Buddy, you gotta eat bananas, man.
Never in my
life. Gotta eat bananas,
Michael. Come on.
Yes.
So you guys have never cramped? Like, I don't. Like, Draisaitl was cramping. Like, one, he plays 25 minutes every night, so it's not like he's out of shape or anything. Unless he's ill, like, you're like, why would he be cramping in the middle of a game? It seems so strange. Game one, it's such an unusual thing that happened.
Yes, and I'm sure you also saw what happened in Florida between the Panthers and the Bruins.
That was
where
awesome.
I got an incredible, right? Incredible series of events in the third period where you see Matthew Tkachuk and David Pastrnak dropping the gloves, Montour doing the fake lick to Brad Marchand, which I loved as well. And, I mean, it sets the stage for what I think is going to be a very long and painful series for both sides. What did you see last night, and what did you make of the craziness at the end in the third period?
So for the game, probably not that surprising, right? Boston, a bit of a letdown, sort of coming off the high of game seven, the emotion of game one. They got the split. They just, you know, the desperation of Florida. It's probably predictable it would play out something like that. But this is, it's interesting because Florida, whenever the game gets out of hand, and I mean whether they're winning or they're losing, if it gets more than three goals, this is what they do, right? Like, they always ratchet it up and become absolute pricks out there. Right, they get cheap and chippy, and they fight, and they face wash, and all that stuff. They do it all the time, and I think in a playoff series, maybe more important than ever. Not that you need to fight, because you know fighting is not really that important in the playoffs, but you got to stand up. And I think Boston certainly was more than happy to stand up for themselves and push back. But the Pasta Tkachuk exchange was amazing, because clearly Pastrnak doesn't do that nearly as much as Matthew Tkachuk did. But the fact that he went in, sort of told Montgomery or asked Montgomery if like what was going on, like I'm going out there and I'm fighting, and you could see Montgomery lean in like, do you want to do that? Like, are you sure about that?
That was
and
awesome.
Like, and Boss is like, you know, you're damn right I'm doing it. And he went out there, and you know how that would go down in Boston's dressing room, would be so appreciated for Pasta to take that on. Whether he wins the fight or loses doesn't even matter. The fact that he dropped his gloves willingly, center ice, predetermined fight. Yeah, but this is what Florida loves to do this. They like to lean on you and sort of impart their will. Like, we may win the game, we may lose the game, but we're always going to, you know, take a pound of flesh with us. And it's just sort of a little psychological game. And I think Boston, for the most part, was just trying to answer that. Like, no, you're not from us. We may win the fight, we may lose the fight, but we're going to be in it every time. So, good stuff. I still don't know how long this one goes. I think Florida is better than Boston. So I don't know if this one goes all the way, but I'll be tuning in Friday night after our games to watch, because that'll be fun.
I love it. So, Mike, you'll be on the call with Gord Miller for all the Canada games at the World Hockey Championships. Carlo Koliakovo, part of the in-studio panel for Saturday's Canada-Great Britain showdown. And I wanted to get your thoughts on the tournament as a whole and some of the best teams. Of course, Canada at the top, the Americans, the Swedes, the Finns, all pretty competitive rosters. Where do you think Canada stacks up against the other top teams in the tournament?
So the other group is not as deep. The U.S. and the Swedes are the best. The Americans, I think, have the best roster here. Like, they're really good. And
minus their goaltender, though.
Yeah, I know. Their goaltender.
Alex Lyon is a stud. Come on. Alex Lyon's a stud.
The other guy is
Trey
Augustine guy.
Maybe play. This guy's an absolute animal in college. He was amazing. And they just added Nedeljkovic as well. So, yeah, it's not like a, you know, not the best for the Americans, but I think they have the best roster. The Swedes have probably their Olympic defense almost. They have Hedman,
dude, it's
Eric
amazing
Carlson,
their defense. Yeah.
Brodin, Dahlin, Marcus Pedersen from Pittsburgh. Like, their defense
is really
good.
Their D is stacked.
Yeah. They're like, those two teams will probably come from the other group. From Canada's group, Finland's always plucky, for sure. They don't have their
very. That's a great word for Finland, plucky. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, they make life difficult. They check hard. They know what they're doing. The Czechs only have a few NHL players. I know they're the home team.
That's disappointing, don't you think?
It is. Yeah,
like there, it's a hometown tournament, and they didn't get most of their star. No. Like how is Hurdle not there?
Apparently, he said he wanted to come, but Vegas didn't release him. That was the story over here, because coming off the injury, they want to make sure he has more time to get healthy, yeah. I guess, or whatever that is. So, yeah, I mean, I think Canada's right there. Canada's got a very good roster, good goal. Jordan Binnington's the
best goaltending in the league, or right? Best goaltending in the tournament.
He'll be up there. And then the defense is really solid. Bedard, McCann, you know, they'll find goals. Canada's going to be fine. Finland will be tough. Switzerland has sort of run through the round robin of this tournament the last couple of years, and they added Roman Josi and Nino Niederreiter. They're pretty good as well. So it should be pretty interesting. I don't know much about Great Britain, AK, but I do know Canada should be favored in that game. And you can tune in nice and early. I think it's on at 6 a.m. on
6 a.m., buddy. I will see you bright and early.
Are you in studio 6 a.m.?
I am, yes. I was told I have to be there at 5 a.m. too. So.
Well, make up at that time of day. It will take a while for you.
Yeah.
Fortunately, he's used to it. I mean, does do morning radio, but for everybody else, Carlo will be feeling great. He'll be plucky on Saturday.
Very plucky. Very plucky.
Mike, yes. I'm going to send you a barrage of texts with different odds on top point scorers and goal scorers for the respective teams. So I need your input on that. So get ready for that as soon as this interview comes.
Canada minus 7.5 against Great Britain. Where are you leaning, Johnny?
I'm taking Great Britain to cover. 7-1 game, 6-1 game. And if you're thinking about leading tournament scorers, I think the Americans. Like, the guy. So I'd have to watch the first game and figure it out, or watch the practices, who's on the power play for America.
Yes, exactly.
Because, like, you're going to load up on those PP points, but their group is thin. They're going to run up some scores in that group. So if you get a power play guy in the Americans who'll go deep, there could be maybe some value there for AK.
Well, I'm looking at the American roster up front. Brady Tkachuk, Brock Nelson, Matt Boldy, Johnny Gaudreau, Cole Caulfield, Trevor Zegras, Shane Pinto, Farabee, Kevin Hayes. I mean, they are loaded up front. And on the back end, they've got Werenski back there.
Yeah.
Luke Hughes is back there. Jake Seth Sanderson. Jones is back there. Jake Say, yeah, they've got a lot of good players, do the Americans. You may have the inclination, Mike, that I'm invested in the U.S. plus 700 from a couple weeks ago. So let's go USA. Let's go USA. Thank you for doing this. Looking forward to catching up with you again next week. And then get ready for my texts.
Boys, have a great weekend. Right.
You too, Bill.
Our friend Mike Johnson, live from Prague. I went to Prague on a Euro trip in 2016. On a Euro trip. Not, trust me, my Euro trip, not the same as the movie.
Scotty doesn't know? Yeah. Were you blasting Scotty doesn't know on your Euro trip?
The thing about Prague, and it's because you go to like the city center, right, where it's just tourist central. Like you can barely even move in there. And I was there in the middle of the summer. And, I mean, it was great. It was beautiful. A ton of history in the city. There are different tours. A lot of, you know, beer consumption. They're famous there for their Czech Pilsners, but I didn't love Prague. I went to Berlin, which I thought was the vastly superior city. Berlin, what a town. Budapest, also, great spot. I'm a world traveler, very cultured individual, not so much, but
very nice.
A couple of weeks in Europe.
Yeah, Prague's beautiful, man. Prague's beautiful. I've been there a couple times. You know, and that's the thing of, like, you know, getting my feet wet in this tournament as an analyst and stuff like that. You hope that, you know, later down the road in my career, depending on where it takes me, my international experience playing, that my international experience will allow me to be live on location at these events.
That would be awesome.
Hope so. It would be awesome.
First up, live from Czechia. Let's make it happen. Maybe both of us will go. I'll just come and stay in your hotel room. You wouldn't mind.
Live from Czechia. It's 12 o'clock when we do the show from there. We can sleep in all morning.
Breeze.
Sleep in all morning and do a four-hour show in the middle of the afternoon.
All right.
It'd be amazing.
Done. I'm sure our bosses would definitely sign off on that without any hesitation.
I don't see why they wouldn't. It's a great idea. We'll be live. Think about all the international audience we could pick up with this radio show.
Where is the 2025 World Hockey Championship? Sweden. And Denmark. We're heading to Stockholm.
Yes,
people.
Copenhagen. Up,
live on location next
what
year.
A spot.
Herning, Denmark, the homeland of Frederik Andersen. of the Carolina Hurricanes. All right, this hour first up was brought to you by 2for1pizza.com. Order a pizza and wings combo, one large pizza, three toppings, and 10 wings. Only $29.49. Try their new Thai sweet chili wing sauce. 2for1pizza.com. Hour three coming up. We'll talk to J.P. Ricciardi, former Toronto Blue Jays general manager, now podcast host, a longtime MLB executive. His thoughts on where the Jays stand and the pressures facing Ross Atkins. That plus James Duthie in 10 minutes. Hour three is next.